Welcome to the unit on loyalty and dependability.
We're excited to present another in the series of the Teaching Your Children Values. And Linda, I think this particular value is a very interesting one in the sense that, you know, what's the most endearing thing you can think of about a person, or particularly about a child, someone who you can count on, someone who does what he says he'll do? And I think it's a kind of a disappearing quality.
Absolutely. In fact, this is something that's kind of scary in raising children nowadays, because it seems so acceptable to be undependable. If something else comes up, then, you know, that's just more important at the moment, and children go do it. There just isn't the dependability that we'd like to see in children often. And we said as we were preparing for this that this is a unit that we really need to work on with our children.
We want you to know that on every unit, parents, that Linda and Richard Iyer go home after making these tapes for you and recommit ourselves to do the very same things we're asking you to do with your children. It's an ongoing battle, and loyalty and dependability is not a natural value for children. I think they're things they really have to learn. Now, a lot of kids are loyal in the wrong way, Linda. They have this sort of false loyalty. Don't rat on your friends. Don't tell on someone. And they think that's loyalty. In fact, that's what gets a lot of kids in trouble. One of the objectives this month is to help them realize that that's a false kind of loyalty. In fact, there's a thing, Linda, on the Alexander tape this month, one of the commercials. I don't think you've even heard it yet as we do this recording, but it's a bunch of rats running around talking to each other and saying, "I wish they wouldn't call that ratting. That's an insult to us." You know, it's great.
I'm going to just throw you out a curveball here, because I have a question for you. I always like to surprise Richard.
Oh, boy.
You know, there are always, no matter what time of year it is, there's always some sport that that your children are involved with, boys and girls. And sports is a big deal, and we happen to be in football season right now, and none of our friends could get any of their friends to come and be with us for a little outing, because they had to be dependable and be at football practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, can we go too far on that? There are things, children missing family reunions, missing things that are really important.
Yeah,
because they feel
question.
That sports is so important in their lives. Now, where's the breakdown?
Well, I think that brings up an interesting caution on both of these two values, and we'll get into why we put them together, loyalty and dependability. You may say, gee, those are kind of different things from each other, but in actuality, they're closely related, and they're both values on which you need a little caution, Linda. If you try to be loyal to too many things, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you get in trouble, and parents have to govern it. So many parents today have kids in 15 different activities, different lessons, different teams, different things, and then they're trying to teach them to be loyal to all of them, And
to be loyal to their family at the same time.
Exactly. And the same undependability. Think of the caution you need to exhibit there, because, you know, if you make commitments, too many commitments, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you're just riding for a fall. You can't possibly be dependable. So part of the teaching here is to help kids and help ourselves. Again, isn't it interesting, parents, how every value we have to reassess our own selves? And boy, there's a lot of us parents who are overcommitted, trying to be loyal to too many things. Maybe one of the first steps on this unit is to simplify our lives and get a clear list of the things we really are going to be loyal to, and make it a fairly short list, and the same with dependability.
And before we go too far, we'd like to read you a definition of loyalty and dependability that we feel kind of puts it all in a box, so that we all know what we're talking about here.
And maybe even just before you read that, Linda, one thing that some parents may know, if you're familiar with the book Teaching Your Children Values, and hopefully most of you have it, this is the first value in the book that is termed a value of giving. A lot of the earlier values, honesty, courage, peaceability, and so on, were termed values of being, in the sense you want to be honest, you want to be courageous, you want to be peaceful. This is an interesting one, because the emphasis shifts a little. You want to give loyalty. You want to give dependability. It's, in a way, turned out more towards other people, although all values, of course, affect everyone around us. But think of this as a value of giving, and the objective here, teaching our children to give their loyalty faithfully to the right things, teach them to give their dependability to those they love and those they care about, and to the tasks that they're assigned. And again, just one other quick preface comment. isn't it great, parents, to focus on one value per month? We hope that's working for you. What Linda and I try so hard to do is when the end of the month comes, yeah, we haven't done everything we wish we have with the value we've been on. We wish we'd done better. We wish there'd been more time. But close it off and focus entirely on the new value for the new month and give it all of your attention.
So with that, let me read this little definition of loyalty and dependability. This is what we mean. Loyalty to family, to employers, to country, church, schools, and other organizations and institutions to which commitments are made. Support, service, contribution. Reliability and consistency in doing what you say you will do.
So that's a concise definition. And again, the interesting word I noticed as you read it, Linda, is commitment. Be careful not to make too many commitments, and then once the commitments are made, be as good as your word. And that's really the bottom line, I think, of what we're trying to teach our children this month.
You keep saying that because we have a daughter in mind who keeps overcommitting
herself.
May have one at your house. She just has her fingers in so many pies all of the time.
And let's be blunt, Linda. A lot of our kids, I mean, it's what you said earlier, this is one we really need to focus on because, you know, sometimes you just, you had an experience, I know, Linda, recently where some of our kids were with some kids in another family and it was a little embarrassing to you because the other kids were a little more, they were getting in and getting the job done a little better than our own kids, and it was troublesome.
Now, Richard, you told me I couldn't say that.
I
now you're saying
that. Well, I
wanted
to be a little bit careful about saying it.
He never tells me I can't say anything. Usually I do.
If I do, she laughs at me.
Yeah, he knows that I'd say it anyway, but it really was kind of upsetting to me. Last month we had a situation in a family thing that we needed some support and help on, and it just seemed like my sister's kids were always coming through and my kids were always late and always not. So maybe that makes you feel better. It makes us feel worse, but it probably makes you feel better because you know that we really truly are working on this. We do have to be careful that we don't overcommit ourselves, but we do have to be careful that we don't drag our children away from the commitments that they feel they have to follow through on.
Yeah, exactly. And like every value, parents, the beginning point is our own example. And I think, Linda, maybe on this month, our own example is even more important than some of the others because you almost have to, in a way, this is a subtle value to children. They haven't really recognized what these words mean, and we're going to get into how you teach them the definitions of them if they're small children. But as far as our own example, it's important to almost dramatize it. In other words, if you're going to pick up your child after school at 3:30 this month on some particular day, why not say to him, Jimmy, I'll be there at 3:30. You can count on it, you know, and then you just hope like crazy.
That you can make it. I know. Well, it's the same thing with parents. It's a real problem to always be dependable because things do come up. However, we usually do end up there one way or the other. But
and you'll be more like, if you make that commitment, then you can say, now that's what commitment is. That's what dependability is. Same with loyalty. If you're, you know, he's got a game or he's got a practice, instead of just saying, I'll be there, say, you know, I'll be there because I am loyal to you. You can count on me being there. I'll support you. I'll be loyal. Make a big deal of your own because, frankly, I mean, yes, we all have to worry, but most, let's be blunt about it, most parents are ever so much more dependable than their children. And if you can dramatize your own dependability and then you put yourself in a position to what? Once they become dependable, huge praise. Wow, you said you'd do it and I didn't have to remind you and you did it. That is so great. And just go for the praise.
And for heaven's sake, try to show up when you say you're going to be there. Another way to dramatize this, I think, is if you have a dog in your house, this is a great object lesson for loyalty and dependability because, you know, dogs really are not very moody. They just are wonderful people. They really...
Maybe some are. Maybe we've just got a good dog.
No, we've had lots of dogs, and some have better personalities than others, but I think there's not a dog in the world who doesn't come wagging his tail and all excited every time you open the door and call for him. Even if you've just gotten mad at him, he'll turn right around and lick your face and let you know that he's still there for you. I recently read a book. I was trying to find this for one of my teenagers who's having a hard time, called How to Win Friends and Influence People. You probably heard of that.
An old Dale Carnegie book.
And the first chapter, I think it was, talked about the fact that all animals have some purpose. You know, chickens give us eggs, cows give us milk, horses give us rides, so on and so on. The only real purpose for dogs is dependability and love. They just give unconditional love, and they're always loyal to you no matter what happens. And I think if you have a dog, it's a great object lesson.
We happen to have a wonderful dog whose name is Abel, and she is a chocolate Labrador, and she is, you know, one of our kids, I can't remember which one it was, once said, you know, when I look at Abel, she's just looking up at me, and it's like with her eyes and her little face, she's just saying, what can I do to please you? What can I do to make you happy? What can I do to help you? You know, and there is that sort of sense, always there, always. And of course, you know, you remember the old show Lassie? I mean, what is it about a dog? They're just loyal. They're with you. They love you. And somehow that feeling of loyalty, I think you're right, Linda. And those of you who don't have a dog, you know, maybe you ought to go check out a Lassie movie.
That wouldn't be bad.
Or we might have puppies if you want to ride in.
That's right. I don't know that cats are quite the same.
Don't
know that birds are quite the same. I mean, they're just, dogs are just a great object lesson in dependability and loyalty. Now, we need to talk about some specifics on how you can teach your children, no matter what age they are.
According to age. Should we start with the preschoolers?
Let's do it.
All right. Preschoolers. I think maybe the first thing is the terminology. And little preschoolers, even 3 and 4-year-olds, you can sit down and say, you know, what are some synonyms? Now, there's a word they may not understand. What are some words that mean the same as loyalty? Maybe they can think of some. Being faithful, caring about someone, supporting someone. You know, this will work even better with elementary age kids, but little kids can begin to get it. And what are some antonyms? What are some things that mean the opposite of dependability? We asked that to one of our little kids, and she said, flaky. And I thought, perfect. That's a perfect. And it happened to describe her pretty well, by the way. But so work a little on the terminology, first of all.
And there are lots of, you can actually put it on the refrigerator, make a little window box thing, which we suggest in the book, that shows the synonym and the antonym for each, whether it's dependable and unreliable or loyal and disloyal. I mean, just things that are very simple for the little preschoolers to understand.
Let's go through a few of those, Linda, because they're actually pretty concise. Let's say you make a little chart, and it shows this in the book, but you don't really need the book. It just says loyal and dependable on one side, and then on the other side is undependable and disloyal. Give them some little scenarios. Now, these are scenarios written for little 3 and 4-year-olds.
For example, Tim's dad asked him if he would stack up some bricks in the garage. Timmy said he would do it, but he forgot and didn't do it. Now you just ask your child, was that dependable or undependable? And it seems so plain and simple to us, but, you know, these little preschoolers are starting on their own level. This is their first realization of what we're really talking about.
And have them looking at this little chart that's got the 4 words on, and can they pick which of the 4 words, dependable, undependable, loyal, disloyal, which word describes that action? And by the end of this exercise, they'll really get it. Just read some more. I'll be the little kid, okay?
Okay, Mommy, read me another one.
Okay, Chrissy's family job was to set the table each night for dinner. She almost always remembered to do it without her mother reminding her. Was that, what was that?
Dependable?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Now, you just think this sounds so obvious. It's not to a 3 and 4-year-old.
And they like
they
it,
need
and,
it.
And it gives
they
you a chance
to
start praising
things.
Them. Give me a couple more, Mom.
Let's see. Alice always thought about the Pledge of Allegiance when her class said it. She felt proud to be an American.
Loyal. Now, you say to what?
To what?
to her country.
Now, we don't think about that very often. In fact, it's a good thing to bring up with our children, because this is another great need we have in our country. We find ourselves often at the dinner table complaining about the government and all the things that are happening. But I'll tell you what, we have been living in a foreign country for a few weeks, and it is always so great to get back to American soil. We do not realize the blessings we have here, and the more we can teach our children to respect the flag and our country, the better off we're going to be down the line.
So, and again, that now starts leading into what you can do with some of the older kids as far as actually giving them a chance to list the things they should be loyal to or the things that really are important and that deserve their loyalty, you see. There's also a lot of stories, I think, Linda, that work well with preschoolers. In fact, referring to the Alexander tape again, one of the other, I shouldn't probably give previews. By the way, I hope you're all, I know you are because they're so addictive. Listen to that green Alexander tape early on, and then you may not get back to it. Your kids may listen to it 50 times during the month, but you'll remember it and be able to use it as examples when teaching situations come up. There's a little commercial on this month's that where a cow is wishing to be milked, and you know his moo is getting more and more anguished because the person who's supposed to milk him is not dependable. And there's lots of stories about the law of the harvest. You know, if you're not dependable on weeding and watering, what'll happen? Nothing will grow. And you know, there's just all kinds of object lessons. Part of the trick this month is being so aware as a parent of loyalty and dependability that when you see an example of the consequence of undependability, or you can think of one just offhand, like a cow that wasn't milked or a garden that wasn't watered or grass, you're driving down the street and here's some dead grass, what happened? Somebody wasn't dependable on turning on the water or whatever. And just talk about it. Make it a point of conversation in the day-to-day.
Now, going on with some different methods that you can use for this value, we really feel that family traditions is a great way to teach loyalty and dependability in some cases, but I think mostly loyalty, because you realize how important it is to do things with your family and give up some things that you'd maybe rather do. And, you know, children always think we're trying to talk them into doing things and so on and so on. I think it's important to point out to them that there are other things that we might enjoy
right.
more, too. But it is so important to be dependable and loyal to your family, and that your family really are your best friends. I think we need to talk about that more often, and this is the month to do it.
And another thing on traditions, Linda, if you have, say, a family slogan or a family motto, or a little family flag some families have, or whatever, little symbols of the institution of your family, then it's a more obvious thing to be loyal to. They're part of something. They begin to get an identity of the family and so on. A couple of other quick things with preschoolers, and then let's move on to the elementary age. We think it's really important to try to ask your children to do things rather than tell them. For several reasons. Number one, it works better, and you can still have authority, and they still know they have to do it, but you can frame it as a request so that then they have to answer you, will you do this? Yes. Then you can say, that's great, and then when they actually do it, you're in a position to praise them for being dependable. And then the old standby method, Linda, of starting over, you know, if a child doesn't do something, again, it's this business of trying to reward the positive rather than you know, trash the negative. So if someone doesn't do it, it's so natural as a parent to say, oh, when are you going to get more dependable? I can't count on you. I can't trust you. You say you'll do it and you don't, blah, 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 blah. And the child is beginning to get a self-image of being a slob, being undependable. So much better if you can govern yourself this month, especially while you're focusing on it, to if something isn't done, just say something like, you know, let's start all over. Let's pretend I didn't even ask you before. I'm going to ask you again this time, and this time I'll bet you'll remember to do it and you'll be dependable. Try to turn it around so you get in a position, and then heap so much praise on them when they do something that it really causes them to do it the next time.
You know, I have to say that you're not great at everything, Richard, but you are really great at praising kids and getting them on a different track if they're on the wrong one. I remember the first of the school year this year, both of our children, we had a little child who just started junior high and who was going to elementary school. Both children, the first day they could catch the bus, missed the bus. So I was really, really proud of you because you came through and you said, you know, I know that this is a good learning experience because even though you've missed the bus today, I'll bet you never miss the bus again. And you know, they really, I'm sure they appreciated that and they really haven't missed it very often.
Well, you know, it's so, you say I'm good at it. Some days I am, some days I'm not. I'm sure all parents feel that way. When you're in a, isn't it interesting, parents, when you're in a pretty good mood and things are going fairly well at work or whatever, you seem to be able to be positive. The days that are the real tests, though, and you're going to have a lot of them this month because this is a tough one. It's this, like I say, it's not a natural thing for kids, and they're very often very undependable. They forget things easily. Their attention span is short. And it's so easy to always be criticizing them for their lack of these qualities. And so maybe the added attention this month, even when we're having a bad day as parents, we can sort of turn it to the positive and remember the time they were dependable, give them praise, emphasize your own dependability, and so on. Now, there is an award again this month. We always like this, and tying right in with what you're saying, Linda, on Sundays, we challenge you to have a little award, make it up yourself, just have it say dependability on it, maybe have a separate one that just says loyalty, and on Sunday at dinner, whether you have one child or five, just say, well, who was dependable this week? Who's in the running for the award? And get a little discussion going. Who said they'd do something and did it? Who did their job without being reminded? Who, saw what needed to be done and did it without being asked, and, you know, get them going and look for chances to praise.
I think many of the methods are similar in teaching elementary age children, this value that we've just spoken about in preschool. But you just have to upgrade a bit and speak to them on their own age level. I mean, telling them stories about, and there are wonderful stories available everywhere. The Book of Virtues, there are 1,000 stories on being dependable and being loyal. In our children's book, what the Joyschool book, and
right.
I don't know how many of you have those or have access to them, but they're wonderful stories on teaching children about loyalty. It doesn't have to be long, it can be short, but it really needs to be in their heads, in their minds, you know, so that they can recall that when they have the choice to be loyal or disloyal.
Yeah, we've really covered most of the elementary methods, but again, coming back to the synonyms and antonyms, now you get an 8 or 9 year old, they really love, it's a game we often play around the dinner table. Bring up a word, who can give me the best synonym to it? Who can give me the best antonym? And boy, these two words, these two values are so good because when you say loyalty, what's the antonym of loyalty? Gee, you know, if kids are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and you stay with it long enough, well, let's see, disloyal. Would that be a spy? Would that be someone who cheated? Would that be someone who, you know, was a traitor? See, some pretty devious, insidious things are antonyms to loyalty. And then in terms of dependability, kids as they're a little older can think of some pretty interesting antonyms. Like I mentioned earlier, one of our little kids said flaky, you know, doesn't show up when they say they will, just irresponsible. And then you get into some really interesting words and it leads to a discussion. And then I think, don't you, Linda, get into the list making on this one. Sit down with these elementary age kids and say, okay, let's make a list of the things that's most important to be loyal to. And let them bring up things like nature. Can you be loyal to nature? Can you be loyal to yourself? Is there something being loyal to yourself? It'll lead to some interesting discussions. The more you talk about it with them, the better they'll get it.
You know, the more you focus on just thinking about these two words this month, it'll be amazing how many things come up that you don't think about being correlated to loyalty and dependability. There's a little story in the book that you wrote, Richard, about one season, I don't know if it was our child or someone else's child, but anyway, somebody was on a team, a young boy, and he never really got to play, but the dad was always there at the games. And on the way home one day, this little son was really discouraged and said, you know, I'm really worried because you come all the time and I never hardly ever get to play, you know. And the dad says, well, you know, I want you to know, son, that I come to be with you, to experience something with you just as much as I come to see you play. So don't worry about it. You know, there are those little opportunities,
yeah,
to talk about dependability and loyalty and just being loyal to a child or to your family that just come up every day if you're just watching for them.
That was actually a friend, a person I really admire, and it was a very touching moment the way he described it, because he just put his arm around this little boy and he said, "Hey, I don't come because I necessarily want to see you play. I come because I want to be with you. It doesn't matter to me if you're on the bench or on the field. I just want to be here with you, you see? Because you're important to me, and I'm loyal to you." And it was a beautiful moment.
There are also awards that you can give for being dependable and loyal at your little awards dinner, or whatever you call it, that is really important to give them this praise again. I mean, I just keep saying praise instead of prod. Praise instead of prod. It's so easy to prod, as Richard was saying, and so hard to remember to turn it around and praise. Again, you can't give a child too much praise.
We had someone did an interesting thing. It was a father who had a boy who was supposed to mow the lawn, and he was trying to emphasize dependability, and so he said, "Okay, son, look, you're pretty good on the lawn, but every week I have to tell you to do it. I have to get after you. I have to get on you, and you finally do it, and you finally get it mowed, and I pay you the $10. How about if we have a deal where you can choose. If you want to stay like it is, I'll keep reminding you because I really don't mind. But if you'd like, I'll give you a deal for a couple of weeks where if you do it without me reminding you, you'll make $12 instead. Which do you want to do? You take a choice. Now, it's a risk because if you don't do it, I'm not going to remind you. We'll just let your brother do it and he'll get the money instead." And in this case, the child said, "Well, let's try it." And it caused him to be aware. It was kind of there's a bigger reward if I do it without being asked, because then I'm really dependable. So you may think of some offshoots to that.
Yeah, in fact, one of the big parts of dependability and loyalty is being able to see what needs to be done and doing it without being told. Seems like every week we're saying to our children, "Look around, see what needs to be done, do it." It's a habit that you have to develop. It's not something that comes naturally with some children. Some children do see it more naturally.
Now, Linda, what about adolescents? I mean,
well,
I bet if you ask parents, that's what
running up to this, because that is what adolescents need more than anything, is the ability to see what needs to be done and do it.
Well, and I think if you were to ask a bunch of parents who are you going to have the most problem with on loyalty and dependability, probably they'd say, "Whoa, teenagers." They're loyal to their friends, overly so. Not loyal enough to the family. They're dependable to watching Saturday Night Live every week, but they're sure not dependable on even remembering for 2 seconds what I've asked them to do, you know.
Right.
So how in the world do you teach this value to adolescents?
And this is a difficult part. I think they do need to be reminded of it. I think that they respond to rewards, just like the elementary age. The lawn mowing thing is a perfect thing to try with them. And actually, you know, you cannot, as you know, if you have adolescents, you can't teach them through, you know, saying, "I'm going to tell you to do this," and then you say, "Yes, Mom," and "Yes, Dad." If you haven't done this before, this is not going to work. You're going to have to work on the praise backwards on teenagers. Anytime they do anything that is dependable or is loyal or make a decision to come and do something with the family, even though they'd rather be with their friends, let them know how you feel about it, and let them know how proud you are of them for making that decision, even though it was difficult.
And, you know, back to the all-time best method for adolescents is always to say, "Look, son," or "Look, daughter, I am going to be working really hard on dependability this month, because, frankly, I'm not always dependable as I should be. And you may have noticed, I've sometimes told you I'd do things and I haven't done it. I've sometimes made promises to you and got busy and forgotten about it. I am going to work so hard. I'm committing myself this month to be more dependable and more loyal. Will you do it with me? Will you join in with me?" And a lot of times if kids really sense that you're not just harping on them, you're trying hard, you'll get a lot further with these adolescents.
And we promise you that they have noticed
You
haven't been unreliable. I mean, that you
have
been.
Give me a few examples of that, son. Okay.
Just tell them to tell you. And in fact, it's a way to get yourself in line. If you offer for your son or daughter to say, "When you see something that I've done that's, you know, unloyal or unattainable, let me know, because we need to talk about it. I'm not perfect on this." I mean, and teenagers respond so much to that, because, you know, that is the age where they really know everything. They really, really know everything. I saw a great sign on somebody's refrigerator recently that said, tell teenagers to go ahead and move out while they still know everything, because it is exactly the way things are. They really do believe that. So it's a great way to get them on your side, or to get you on their side, however you want to look at it.
And especially with adolescents, great age to have a discussion with of who deserves your loyalty and who doesn't. Who benefits from real loyalty and who doesn't? Do you really help a friend if you know he's in trouble and you never say anything to anyone else? Or are you better off saying to that friend, you know, I care about you, you've got a problem, please go and get some help on it. And if you don't, I'm going to feel like I need to try to help you get some help. Boy, that gets into courage, doesn't it?
It does. And we have friends children whose friends are bulimic. We have friends who are into alcohol and not so much drugs, but I'm sure that's people's lives. And if you're trying to think that you're loyal to that child by not saying anything about it, you need to let your child know that the real dependability and loyalty is getting help for their friends.
Once you get discussing this with adolescents, they'll bring up some very interesting points, you know. Are we overcommitted? Are we loyal to too many things? Are we trying to be dependable to too many things? We got in a discussion the other night with someone who was missing a couple of practices of a play, and we got into a discussion, well, does that just affect you? Who else does it affect? Oh, yeah, it affects the rest of the cast. It may affect the audience when they come. The ripple effect of undependability, how many people it reaches. And you say, well, gee, that's kind of an adult discussion. Not really. That's a great discussion to try to get into with adolescents. How do you get into it? Again, one way is, we're finding, by the way, the further we go with these tapes, that we used to think the Alexander tapes were for kids up to age 12. We're finding that it's more like 15 or 16. Kids will listen to them. They'll enjoy them. Then you're in a position to talk about it. For example, when you hear this month's tape, there will be so many questions. Was Alex really dependable when he went out to jump on the trampoline instead of listening for the phone? Did he hold on to the line once he was in inland? Did he hold on to the line that kept the strange plumber guy from going out through the bottom of the cistern? I mean, it just raises all kinds of questions that will give you opportunities to teach loyalty and dependability. May you have a great month.
We wish you the best of luck, and I know that you're wishing us luck too, because as we've said, we've got a way to go on.
See you next month.